Psalm 78, starting at verse number 6. There's a lot happening in our world right now. Continue to pray for Israel and the people of Israel. And it's going to be interesting how we respond, U.S., and what all happens and takes place, the aftermath. It's going to be very interesting to see. But everything started in Israel, and everything will end in Israel. And we know that Israel is our timetable. And as we see things happening in Israel, it is a notification that time is winding up. So it is paramount that we do two things. One, be ready, not get ready. Be ready for the Lord's coming. Two, the second thing is go tell everybody you know, get ready because Jesus is coming. And so time is winding up and God is shaking heaven and shaking earth. And I don't know about you, but I want to be on the Lord's side. I want to be ready when Jesus comes. I don't want to mess around. I don't want to mess around. And I ain't got time to be with people that are messing around. But I want to be sold out. Yeah. Sold out to Jesus. Woo, hallelujah. Sold out to Jesus. Psalm 78, verse number 6. Thank you for standing to honor the reading of the word, that the generation to come might know them. Them is speaking of the works of God and his commandments. If you were to read the scriptures before that, but it's also going to highlight that in the very next verse, in verse number 7. That the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. So now we are talking about multi-generations here. The children and to the unborn. Verse number 7, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. I want to preach here just for a few moments on this subject, and that is next generation. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the spirit that we feel in this house right now. I thank you, Lord, you're so good. You're so mighty. You're so wonderful. God, I don't know what all you're going to do in this place, but I want you to do all of what you intend to do. So, God, I pray, Lord, because this is your church. These are your people. We are your sheep, and I am your vessel. So help me, Lord, to speak every word that is intended. I pray that my flesh will not get in the way. Because, Lord, I want to leave here greater, stronger, wiser than what I walked in here. And, Lord, we will forever give you the praise, glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name that we pray. If you're ready to receive the word, come on, clap your hands unto the Lord and magnify him. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. Presence of the Lord. Well, if you study the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, you will quickly find that Genesis, of course, is a book of creation. And it details a God that desires to have a people set apart. Exodus, when you begin to read the book of Exodus, you will quickly find that it is a book of deliverance and the development of a nation. When you dive into the book of Leviticus, Leviticus is a book of instruction. It's a book of order, a guidebook for worship and holy living. We jump into the book of Numbers, you will soon find that Numbers is a book of promise. It's also a book of preparation, but it also begins to quickly turn and you will see sin and punishment. Then you get to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is a book of rededication. It's a book also of encouragement. In the Greek, Deuteronomy actually means to repeat. There is something very unique to me, a game that I used to play often. It's going to be up on the screen, but this game has actually become very popular even now in this generation, but it's called Etch-a-Sketch. Anybody remember Etch-a-Sketch? Okay, so maybe even before my time, there were people that used to love Etch-a-Sketch. And so Etch-a-Sketch was one of those things. Now, I would say I designed that, but I do want to go to heaven. So Etch-a-Sketch was one of those games where when you messed up, what would you do? You'll shake that thing up, right? And you'll kind of get back and move those knobs back and forth, and you'll try to do it like, messed up again. You'll shake him. I mean, you'll shake yourself like crazy because you just mess up every single time. And don't let somebody bump you. Oh, my Lord. That will start a fight if somebody bumped you while you were trying to move those small little knobs. And so that is what Deuteronomy is basically a book of Etch-a-Sketch. You'll never forget the book of Deuteronomy ever again when you see Etch-a-Sketch. But it's a repeat book. Why? Because now we have a generation that is not going to inherit the promise that God gave them because of their unbelief and because of their disobedience. And now there arises another generation that now Moses has to prepare to go into the promised land. So now he has to repeat the words of God that God gave the original generation. But the original generation did not claim or take hold to the word of God. So now he's depending on a new generation that's going to come up and claim and take hold of the word of God. Now here in this church, I am very, I am very particular in my prayers. When I ask the Lord that I want this church to be a multi-generational church. That means that I want people, when they come into this church, they see a generation that reflects themselves. I appreciate the fact that we can have older, middle-aged, younger, and even babies walking to this church and they see a reflection of them. I just don't want to be a youth church. I just don't want to be a teenager church. I sure don't want to just be a baby church. And I don't want to be an old church either. But I want every generation to be reflected in the house of God. When you have every generation reflected, it is a sign of a healthy church, because that means you are offering things for every generation, and every generation feels comfortable here and there's something available for them. But we must be a continual growing church in order to be a healthy church. And so that is a sincere prayer of mine. I want us to be multi-generational. I want there to be a reflection of every single age group for years to come. So that means it does not stop. That means 10 years from now, 20 years from now, this should still be a multi-generational church. Now, how do we do that? We do that based upon a couple things. We cannot afford for one generation to miss it. I'm not going to preach long, but I'm telling you, if you get with me, we're going to get through this thing and we're going to go out of here with greater understanding, because we cannot afford one generation to miss it, because all it takes on board. We can have the middle age on board. We can have the youth on board. We can have the preteen on board. But even if those babies, as they raise up 10, 15, 20 years, if they miss it, that means the next generation after them is going to be lost. You're not hearing me. We can have success for 40 years and have the next 40 years to be unsuccessful. We cannot afford that. I just said the Lord is coming soon. I want every generation to have it. Well, what are you saying, preacher? Have what? I'm talking about have holiness. Every generation must understand we must be holy. There cannot be one person in here that thinks you can live in the world and go to heaven at the same time. We cannot miss that. But we must live holy inside and out. We shouldn't look like the world, act like the world, be like the world, want to go be with the world, but we must be separate from the world. We can't miss it. Because if one generation misses it, the next generation will pay for it. And then the next generation after that will even be worse. Let me give you something that I live by. Because what you do in moderation, the next generation will do in excess. You must be careful what you do in moderation, saying it's not going to hurt anybody. You better believe that teenager may grow up and they'll do it even more than what you're able to do it. So if the line is here, I'm going to make sure I'm way back here, because I want my children growing up in holiness. We can't miss it. And if one generation stops praying, that means the next generation won't know how to pray. If one generation stops worshiping, that means the next generation won't know how to worship. We cannot miss it. Every generation matters. Hallelujah. I don't just want to see elderly people worshiping. I want to see teenagers worshiping. I just don't want to see elderly people in a prayer room. I want to see young adults in a prayer room. I don't just want to see young adults even worshiping and leaping up and down. But I want to see some elderly begin to say, I can't leap, but I can lift my hand. I may not be able to run, but I can stomp this foot. I may be able to not be able to jump real high, but I can still shout hallelujah. Why? Because we can't miss it. And it matters. It matters. Otherwise, we'll have another Deuteronomy. And I'm sorry, it's too late. God's coming too soon. We can't have another Deuteronomy time. I don't know what you're thinking if we got 10, 15, 20 years, but I'm telling you, time is winding up. I'm not telling you not to plan for your future. We're supposed to. We're supposed to make sure that we're looking after generation and generation to come. But I got to make sure I'm living right today. And we can't miss it. So here we have Moses now talking to a generation. Listen, he had to reteach them because they didn't learn at home. Now, over the last couple times we've been meeting, for those of you that are really tuned in and listening to what the Spirit is saying to the church, you will notice that I've been teaching and preaching on generations. Even family prayer, I had an older generation lay hands upon the younger generation. I'm trying to get us to understand that in order for us to be a multi-generational church, we have to be concerned about the next generation. Hallelujah. We have to be concerned about who's coming after. Matter of fact, this morning I was even teaching on the importance of sacrifice. Do you know the most important sacrifice and investment that you can make is in the kingdom of God? Because every other investment that you do, it will corrupt. But we need to invest in the kingdom of God that will last forever. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. That's what the book of Proverbs says. Now, in that scripture, you need to understand, it's talking about money there. It is. If you go study it, it's talking about inheritance. It's talking about money. It's talking about an estate. And we ought to think that way, to leave an inheritance and estate to our children's children. But the greatest thing that we can leave our children is learn how to pray, learn how to worship, learn how to live for God, learn how to live holy. If my children don't receive a mansion from me, they're going to learn how to pray. If they don't receive $1 million from me, they're going to learn how to worship. If they can't receive acres of land, they're going to know how to live a holy life. Why? Because I passed it down to the next generation. And we can't miss it. Every generation matters. So I want to show you some pictures here that I'm very impressed with. And so we have, just go one by one. We have an older generation and a younger generation. I think that called each other and said, hey, I'm wearing blue today. Huh? Brother Mike called, okay. But I don't know what you see, what I see, but I see a multi-generational church passing down support and love to one another. That's culture, church. That's how we say a multi-generational church. Go to the next picture. Then we see another generation laying hands on a younger generation. See, that's what we need. We need an older generation that prays for a younger generation. But we also need a younger generation that wants an older generation to pray for them. I may sound like a broken record, but I'm sorry. We need our elders to lay hands on our younger ones and say, you can make it. You can do it. You can come out. You don't have to stay bound. You can be delivered. I used to be there, but now I'm here. You can come out. We need to hear it. We need to hear it. We need to know you used to make mistakes. You don't have to tell us your mistakes. You don't have to tell us what all you did and where all you been. I don't need to hear all that, but I at least need to know, you know, I used to do those things, but I don't do them no more. I'm not trying to condemn you, but I am trying to warn you. You don't have to keep going down that path, but you can come out. There's something encouraging about that. When a young generation can look to an older generation and say, if they can do it, then I can do it. I can do it. Let's go to the next picture, please. This is one of my favorites. It's one of my favorites. Because you see multiple things happening. You see older generations with younger generations. You see people praying. You see people worshiping. You even see kids praying for other kids. Can I talk about this? And I'm not going to talk to the kids right now. I'm not going to talk to them. I want to talk to the parents. Can you please help your pastor and talk to your kids at home and tell them that pastor wants to see a culture in the church where they pray for other kids, where they pray for other friends of theirs? Because you know what that does? It breaks down stereotypes. It eliminates walls. It removes barriers. Because if I've got a problem with you, but if I can learn to humble myself and pray for you, then that problem is no longer a problem. Can I preach this thing in here tonight? I'm telling you, we should see more of that. We should see more. I should see my little daughter, London. I'm just going to use, oh man, I said her name. I owe you some money. I'll pay you when I get home. Okay, so I'm not going to use you as an example. No, I'm going to be broke up here. I already gave away $200 this morning. Praise God. You should have raised your hand this morning, shouldn't you? And so now we need to understand that we need children praying for other children. Why? Because you have the gift of God on the inside of you as well. And you can operate by faith and believe God for your friend's situation. But on top of that, we are developing a culture of prayer. We can't just expect them just to pick it up and figure it out on their own, but we got to talk to them at home and say, hey, honey, I want you to come to the altar when pastor says come. I want you to pray. I want you to seek God. I want you to believe God. But then when you're done praying, I want you to get up and try to find another kid your age. If you're a female, go to a female. Teach them those things. If you're a boy, go to a boy, because we got to have things in decency and in order. And I want you to go and pray for your friend. And I want you to pray for them like you're praying for yourself. Why? Because we want to be a multi-generational church. And if a generation stops praying, the younger generation won't know how to do it. If a generation stops worshiping, the next generation won't know how to do it. You've already said this, Pastor. I want to get it into your heart. I want to get it into your spirit, because the devil doesn't like what he sees here at Star City Church, but there's nothing he can do about it. I'm going to keep on saying, we're going forward. We're going higher. We're going to be multidimensional. We're going to do things greater in this city. And when people come to Star City, they're going to see an example of what right looks like. They're going to see black, white, Hispanic worshiping together. They're going to see old, middle-aged, and young worshiping together. They're going to see us as one body in one accord. Clap your hands unto the Lord and magnify the name of Jesus. Woo! Hallelujah. So can I take it a little bit deeper? Let's go to the next picture. But it's one of my favorite pictures here. And what Brother Bollinger is sitting on, he said he's going to create a patent for it. So I'm going to leave that up between him. You got to go talk to him, what he concocted there. But we were doing some work in the parking lot at the new building that we're going to. And thank you. I know everybody can't make it, but thank you to the ones that were able to make it. And I thank the Lord because we had older men out there. But every generation needs to understand the importance of work. Our generation, speaking of myself, younger, I'm including myself into it, was brought up in a generation where things were handed to us. And we need to understand that everything's not going to be handed to you. But because we live in a generation where everything's handed to you, and then when you don't get it, they don't know how to respond. They don't know how to act. They go pout and go sit in a corner somewhere and cry because they don't know what to do and how to respond to controversy. Because they don't know how to get down on their knees and their hands and put in some work in order to earn a living. So just like worship is important and prayer is important and holy living is important, we also have to instruct a next generation, hey, you got to work here. Hey, pastor, you go get that building. Hey, pastor, you go take care of that. Hey, pastor, you go paint. Hey, pastor, you go take up, you go put down carpet. Hey, you go do all that. I just want to walk in and enjoy. That spirit can't be at Star City Church. That spirit can't be in my 40, 30, 20-year-olds and even teenagers. That spirit can't be there. It can't. We can't just expect just to walk in and all of a sudden be like, yeah, check us out. You didn't do nothing. You're not helping. You didn't even give. You're not even involved in a campaign talking about check us out. No, we got to have every generation involved in what God is doing in the kingdom of God. And so that's why I'm thankful. Go to the next picture. We had young men out there helping out on their hands and knees with sledgehammers in their hand. And there's many other examples of other young people that were out there helping out. Why? Because I want them to know that we can be a part. Even if I drove one nail into the ground, I can say, I helped out right here at this church. I had something to do with this. I remember there was a nail here and I drove it into the ground. Why? Because every generation matters. Hallelujah. And it is important to understand in order for us to be multi-dimensional, multi-generational, multicultural, then we can't lose it. We can't miss it because every generation matters. And that's why, my friend, today, you matter. I don't care if you're 99 or 9 years old, you matter. We don't want anyone to feel like they don't matter here at Star City Church. I'm telling you, someone, you need to understand, you matter. Your prayer matters. Your attendance matters. Just you being here matters. You may not be able to do things like you used to, but just you being here in the presence of God, it matters. Don't you know you never know when God is going to speak to you and use you in a mighty way to give a word to somebody else? And if you wouldn't have been here to give that word, that person may have missed out on what belongs to them. You just don't know. If God can use a donkey, he can use any one of us in here. But we have to be present in order for us to be used. We just have to walk in saying, Lord, if you can use anything, you can use me. That's why everybody in here matters. You don't have to have a microphone in your hand. You don't have to be a singer, usher, or a greeter, but the person on the front row or the back row, you matter. The greatest groups and teams I've ever been a part of were groups and teams where everybody felt like they mattered. Everyone. Sports analogy, from the guy that's averaging the most points to the guy that's on the end of the bench and all he has is a towel and he's doing this. Those are my favorite guys. They got me excited. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because he knows I'm a part of this team. He knows if we win the championship, guess what? I get a ring too. Guess what? If we hoist that trophy, guess what? I was a part of that trophy. I can have my hand on it too. I didn't score a point. I didn't even get in the game. I was just down there like this. And see, that's what we need. We need folks. You may not be able to do all the things that you used to be able to do. You may not be teaching Sunday school. You may not be at the door because you can't stand that long. You may not be in photography and do the things that Sister Kate has done so well. You may not have that creativity, the things that those people in the sound booth do, but you're in the back of the church doing this. Do I have anybody that would just worship the Lord just for a moment like this? I can't do much, but I can give them a wave offering. I can't do much, but I can show somebody I'm not dead. I'm still alive because I serve a God that's still alive. Can somebody stand to your feet just for a moment and give God a great praise in Jesus' name? Go ahead, Brother Davenport. Come on, just do that. Just back and forth, back and forth. That's it. Wave that hanky. Just wave it around a little bit. Brother Davenport, you may not be able to run, but guess what? I can still run. You just keep on waving. I can still run. You just keep on waving that thing. In the name of Jesus Christ. I wish I had some young people in here that was able to move and shout and dance and magnify the Lord. And then I could get some old folks to say, I can't do it, but I can still praise him. I can still worship him. I can still love him. Yes, Lord. Because the devil's a liar. He's been telling you you don't matter. He's been telling you you've been passed up. The devil's a liar. You matter. You matter. You matter. Yes. In Jesus' name. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we will sing and shout the victory. Oh, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Oh, when we all see Jesus, we will sing and shout the victory. Oh, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Oh, when we all see Jesus, we will sing and shout the victory. Can we sing that one more time? Oh, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Oh, when we all see Jesus, we will sing and shout the victory. Oh, let's shout victory in this house and clap our hands. Come on, let's shout victory in this house. 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 In the name of Jesus, clap your hands unto the Lord one more time. Yes, yes. Ah, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus. Remain standing, please. I'm dismissing. Praise team, no, just stay right where you are. The Holy Ghost is here. The Spirit of the Lord is here right now. Psalms 145, I'm gonna end here. Psalms 145, verse number 3 and 4. The scripture says, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. One generation shall declare it to the next generation, and then that generation will declare it to the next generation, and then that, oh, y'all not hearing me right here. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. You ought to tell somebody next to you, God is great and greatly to be praised. God is great and greatly to be praised. Tell the next generation, God is great and greatly to be praised. The next generation. Many of you know, I'm dismissing now. Many of you know about the stopgap bill. And you know that just a few days or weeks, it's probably been a little over a week now, we were on the brink of a governmental shutdown. Now, I don't care if you're for it or against it. I'm not here to talk politics. Y'all know my style of preaching. I don't even talk about that, because Republicans, Democrats, liberals, conservatives, we all need Jesus. But I do stand for stopping the gap from one generation to the next. Stopping the gap from one generation to the next in our firm foundation of holiness. Our firm foundation of worship, our firm foundation of prayer, our firm foundation of anointing, of dominion and power. We must stop the generational gap, because we must declare it from one generation to the next generation. Can we lift our hands right now unto the Lord? Come on, let's just begin to call upon him. Come on, let's just begin to love him. Come on, let's just begin to adore him in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, that's it. Come on, we have to declare this to the next generation. We have to declare this to the unborn. Come on, there's children that's not even born yet, but they need to know that God is good. They need to know that there's only one way to heaven. They need to know they must be baptized in his name, filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Come on, they need to understand that there's only one way, one truth, and one light. Come on, in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the way. He's the answer. In the name of Jesus. So church, don't stop talking about it. Jesus is a healer. I don't think you're hearing me right now. Yes, I've got sickness in my home. Yep. I've got disease in my home, but Jesus is a healer. And I'm not going to stop talking about it. I'm not going to stop preaching it. I want my children to grow up believing it. I want God. Jesus is still a healer. Jesus is still a deliverer. Jesus is still a waymaker. He's still the answer. I'm not going to stop talking about it. Hallelujah. Because one generation has to declare it to the next generation. And we will be a generational. Do you hear me, devil? Do you hear me, principality? Do you hear me, wickedness, spiritual wickedness of this area? I said we will be a generational church. I'm sorry, but I should not be scared of the devil. The devil must be scared of me, because I got the name applied to my life. I've been baptized in his name. I've been filled with the Spirit. And all I gotta do is speak the name. We will be a multi-generational church. We will have an impact on this city. We will multiply and grow. We will tear down every stronghold. My God, I said I was going to dismiss, but I feel the Holy Ghost right now. We will tear down every stronghold. We will bring down every mountain. We will preach the truth in Jesus' name. We will stand for holiness and righteousness. We will stand for modesty, separation from the world. We will be a people without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Can we pray together just one more time? Lord, we love you. We thank you. Can you get Numbers chapter 6 ready for me, please? Come on, church. Can you just call upon him just one more time? Come on. I want us to take 60 seconds and pray for the next generation. I don't want you to pray for yourself, but I want you to pray for the next generation. It doesn't matter if you don't have kids. I just want you to pray for the next generation. Come on. If you're in the 20s, pray for teenagers. If you're teenagers, pray for the preteens. If you're preteens, pray for the kids. Come on. Come on. Pray for the next generation. Pray for that generation to come. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Halabahaya. Yes, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. There's a refreshing happening right now. I spoke about it in the prayer room. There's a refreshing that is being poured out right now. So I speak strength over your mind, your body, and your spirit. I speak strength that when you go back home, you'll have peace. I speak strength that when you go back home and you go to your job, you'll still have joy. I speak strength into your next week. I speak strength into the remainder of this year. I speak unity and strength, family members and loved ones. I speak it right now in the name of Jesus. There's a refreshing happening right now. I speak it. I come against division and hatred and chaos. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus Christ. Devil, you're a liar. You should have took us out a long time ago when you had the chance, but we're still here. You made a mistake and allowed us to keep on living. You had no authority over it anyway, because my life has been in God's hands this entire time. In the name of Jesus Christ, I speak strength right now over every heart, over every mind, over every relationship, broken home. I speak strength. I speak a refreshing in the name of Jesus. I speak a refreshing in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Numbers chapter 6, starting at verse number 24. We declare it now over our life and over the next generation. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.